everybody. David Donaldson here with another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. I am sans Joe Martin today. He's finishing up a conference out in Austin, Texas. But I'm very excited to have Kathy Corden with me here today. Kathy, welcome to Entrepreneurial Impact.
Thanks. I am just absolutely delighted to be here, to be a visitor back in the Virginia's region where I spent the first 5 years of my career.
Awesome. And we're happy to have you. Now, remember, this is a global impact event. So right. You know, this will be streaming everywhere, not just here in the local DMV area. But everybody, you know, so Kathy's got a very unique story that I wanted to share. And, you know, we really always like to touch on how we're impacted and what drives us to do what we do. And Kathy, you have a really great story that talks about how you developed your niche for your business, right, for working with seniors. So let's just give everybody a little bit of a background about your first, right? And then what led you into this passion of yours that really is working with this massively core business segment for you?
Right. I call it the future of real estate.
Right.
And I'm second generation and I'm second career. I'm okay. Second generation in that my mother was residential for over 30 years. My father was commercial for over probably 40 years. My brother was a commercial broker for KW Excel in Westerville, Ohio for a number of years. And my niece is in Clarksville as a KW agent. So it's the family business. I, however, was one of those, I'm never going into real estate because I grew up in the industry and know all the ups and downs of it. And I was also, from my beginning of my career, really focused and involved with the nonprofit segment of the world. I have 40 plus years in human services and nonprofits, mostly focused on high-risk kids okay. and mental health, substance abuse, behavioral health issues, and was very active in all of those areas on the from being a program person to running agencies to working on the national level in advocacy and program development for mental health and substance abuse. And so my focus has always been on mission. And I said I was second career, it was probably my third career, yet when I started, I had one of those unplanned opportunities. And I had, in my 40s and 50s, I had thought, you know, geez, I really could do some real estate because I now have a better sense of what it is and how it works in the larger world, having run some nonprofit corporations. And at 65, it was just before my 65th birthday, is when I started my pre-licensing course. I had an unplanned opportunity and said, you know, I've wanted to do this for so long. I actually had talked to a real estate brokerage about 10 years earlier, and life had changed and it didn't work out. So I come into it with this mission-driven, for me, it's not about me and selling something. It's about really working on behalf of people who need extra care and support and working with really complex transitions, having worked in the child welfare part of the world for a while, I worked with kids that were just had families had really hard transitions. So it was easier for me to see it in terms of mission. And then I go back to the story that I love to tell about my mom. I said she was an old school white glove realtor from the started in real estate in the early 70s. And she developed lung cancer and lived for 6 years on a 3.5 year prognosis. So she did really well. And she was one determined lady, and that apple did not fall far from the tree. And she was really determined that she was going to live way beyond her time. And the weekend that I got the call, I lived in DC. She lived in the Columbus, Ohio area, from my dad and my sister that she had been taken into hospice, supposedly for respite. We knew this was, and we had been there. My husband and I had been back and forth almost every other week for months. And we knew this was the real juncture point. So we packed everything up and my going into, she was in a hospice home, and going into her room was with trepidation, because this is the woman who believed that that weekend she was traveling to Michigan for my cousin's daughter's wedding. And she was just so in denial of the severity of her situation. So I didn't know what she was going to say. And she looked up at me and said, "They took me from my home." And that was one of the very last sentences she ever said in her life. And it has stuck with me all these years. And so working with seniors who, for whom their home has so many memories. I talked to a gentleman a couple of years ago during a listing appointment, and he said, "I hear their voices as children in the walls. There's so much emotional attachment and identity attachment to the home, which was the American dream for them, that leaving that home had so much more than the real estate transaction." To me, is this tiny little piece of a bigger piece. So that's been the attraction for me. And it's because of the extra support and care I can provide to folks, and bringing other partners in and making sure that their needs are taken care of, that makes it worthwhile for me.
I want to stop you there real quick, because you just said some incredibly moving things. And there were two quotes that you just kind of said. One, you said, they took my home from me. That's incredibly powerful. And I want that to kind of resonate with everybody for a little bit. And then you kind of went and said, their voices are like children's voices in the walls. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of comprehend that for a minute, because I think, unfortunately, a lot of us, we establish relationships with our clientele, but we might not have had that kind of experience yet, or we're not kind of sure. We're scrambling and we're looking at transactions. And literally in those two statements changes everything when we talk about building our business from a relationship. I do call it generational business. Like I've talked a lot about selling parents and kids and having generational relationships. That really ties it all together for me, in knowing that I've always been on the right path. I haven't connected all the dots yet. But my thought process of that this asset, this transaction, is not transactional at all.
No.
It's monumentally moving.
It's a transition, and it's a major, stressful, challenging life transition for so many of my clients. And so that's why I'm your transition partner. I've been that since the first week I was in business, and I have then been able to grow everything around it. It's about the life transition. Like I said, that real estate transaction is a tiny little piece of the pie. Conversation with a referral, with an agent that's a close friend of mine in the DMV. And, she's working with a couple that was the referral from me, and the pain of leaving that community and that home and that neighborhood. She said, she just went on and on about it. And it's real.
It really is. And we're going to take a deeper dive in it. So I love that you came in with a clear mission, right? And it helps that you've had some experience in the professional acumen, right? Knowing how to start something. But I think what you had with a lot of businesses is that you had clarity over who your audience was going to be, what your mission was going to be, and what value you were going to bring to the table in building that business. So to that, I think you're very fortunate, because a lot of people that are building a business and they think of real estate as that business, they lack the clarity of how to go at it, other than it's a transactional type, I've got to get business.
One of the challenges I had, and for this audience, I think it's real important, and it wasn't anything negative on the part of the people that I was working with at all, yet they didn't understand the difference. And the when you come into real estate at whatever age, from 22 to 65, this is the way you make the calls. This is the way you build your database. And I kept saying, but it doesn't fit for me. Excuse me. And it doesn't fit for me. I did learn that rule. And it's important to I think, have folks understand that my sphere is estate attorneys, elder law attorneys, financial planners, folks in the senior care industry in terms of senior living communities, home health care, home care, hospice, physicians, occupational therapists. Those are my sphere, placement folks that work in senior placement. And those are the folks that I hung out with, and I learned all the other parts of the senior service industries as part of my prospecting, because that's where my referrals came from.
And so you knew your sphere. Yeah. So not only did you know your sphere, but you knew the senior economy. You kind of touched on that at the top, right? And we talk about know your numbers, and we reference, you know, the language of real estate, know your numbers. And a lot of times we're talking about know your numbers for what you need to do to accomplish your goals. In this capacity, you really know your numbers about your niche and about what's potentially happening in this economy. So while we're talking about the senior economy and the senior marketplace for you, I want everybody that's listening at home to understand is that whatever your niche is, these topics that we're talking to can be applied in a lot of different avenues because you have such clarity. That's what I want people to digest. This right. might not be the niche for you, but this certainly is a business model and a success plan to build yours. But so let's kind of talk about knowing your numbers, right? Let's talk about the senior economy. So if you elaborate, what does that business today? What does that look like?
Well, one of the things I want to say is as we talk about this, to put as the frame of reference, seniors are the future of real estate. and I'm advocating to have that heard everywhere. And we need as an industry to really begin to elevate the level of service we have for them.
So what brings you to that thought? Like if that, we're saying this is where the business is going, this is the future of real estate. How are you getting there?
I get there because 10,000 people turn 65 every day. And if you take that over a five-year period, that's 18,250,000 people that are turning 65. The vast majority of people say they want to die in their own home. They want to age out in their own home, however they want to say it. My husband and I did a senior move. I said that I was in the Northern Virginia market for the first 5 years of my career. I'm in the North Texas market now. Mm-hmm. And we moved here. I have to be careful and in future planning because I said I wanted someplace warmer. It is going to be 104 today.
should have been worse. Nice and cool here in Virginia today.
We don't have a snow shovel, and that you don't have to shovel this. So, when we moved here, we went from a three-story townhouse that you can't throw a stone and not be in a community that has three-story townhouses in Northern Virginia. And with all those stairs, we are in a house that has not one step in it. And so my thing is that they're going to put me in a bag, put me on a gurney and haul me out the back door through the gate and into the driveway where they will have the hearse waiting for me. That's my plan. Most people want to do that. 7% of people die in their own home. And so we need to plan differently. Of the 10,000 people that turn 65 every day, between 75 and 80% of us own our homes. We are the ones that are in all that inventory that nobody can find. And for some of us, it's okay, like my house, no stairs. Many people, especially in the Northeast and in places where you build vertically because of density, you can't have one level living. So that our inventory is aging in the same way we're aging. That said, there's going to be, if you look in that 5 years down the road, just using from today's point to 5 years point, 18,250,000 people that are going to age and need to have, they're going to have health issues. They're going to fall and break their hips and need to be moved into a higher level of, of care. They're going to want to move, be closer to the kids or the grandkids. My last transaction a couple months ago, the woman who purchased the house, was an estate where the couple had purchased the house to live out their last lives, and they did. And we sold it to a woman a few years younger than I am, who was moving in to be closer to the grandkids. So there's two pieces to it. There's the prediction of the ways we're going to need to have extra care as the diminishment of age does happen. Yet, at the same time, we have the technology and the healthcare for a much longer and healthier, more mobile aging process. So it's clear that there's going to be a shift to working with the seniors, because we will be a big majority of adults in this world coming soon. We have more complex needs than we have had before.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That kind of brings us to you had mentioned to me when we were talking before about living in all five quarters of their lives, right? So this audience, this seniors, right? Isn't right. You kind of touched it. There isn't one specific, hey, this is how you do it. It's a niche within a niche. Mm-hmm. When you start looking at where they are, right, in their life cycle. How did you come to that? And how do you explain that to people?
Well, there's two parts. There's a really important book called Stage Not Age by Susan Wilner Golden. It's Harvard Press 2022. She has the five quarters is I think brilliant math on her part. It sounds a little crazy, but it's brilliant math. And I'll go into that in a second. And but the premise that she brings is the importance for anyone that is in sales to look at the impact of the longevity economy, the senior economy, because not only do we have seniors making purchases like myself, and that we, the boomers, still have such an enormous part of the, especially in the US, of the wealth, and that wealth is going to transfer in some way or another. And that's not kind of where we're going with this, but that's there.
Right.
Yet we also have people that we're serving, we're having products and services for seniors, which is diverse, because you've got 55. At 55, I was running a child welfare agency for 90 high-risk adolescent boys in a residential setting in Southern Connecticut. I wasn't a senior. It made me crazy, and I probably was a little cranky, but that had to do with 90 high-risk adolescent boys, a state contract, and a staff. So, and then when I left there, they all said I was retiring, and I'm like, I'm not retiring. So 55 is like this really crazy ancient model. When we look at seniors, because we look at 55, because the exemptions to fair housing to build specific communities for both housing communities and apartment communities for people either 55 or 62 and older, that's what those markers are for us in the real estate industry.
Okay.
And it's one of the things I coach people. Know who your specific seniors are. 55 to 100 is 45 years of diversity. And when you meet 170-year-old, you meet 170-year-old. When you meet 180-year-old, you meet 180-year-old. There are 90-year-olds jumping out of airplanes, and there are 65-year-olds that don't leave their home because they have health issues that complicate their lives and really restrict their mobility. So within there is this very diverse. So know which seniors in an avatar, the same way we think about first time buyers. Mm-hmm. You know, we really create an avatar around a first time buyer. What do they need? What do they need to learn? What do they need to know? Around the seniors, we really need the same piece. And there's certain things that go all the way through, but there are some that are really specific. If it's someone 55 to 70, they're probably making that move to be closer to family. They could be making a move to be closer to a golf course. They could be making a move to be closer to the cruise ship ports. They could be making real lifestyle, moving into an urban environment, because they always lived in the suburbs raising the kids, and I want to live downtown, so that they have the mobility. What they need is resources from us, and they need to know how to get maybe rid of their stuff, and they need to have access to high quality vendors and contractors that we trust, and we give resources to them, because that move is a little bit different. They're moving someplace smaller, not bigger.
Yeah. That trusted network that we should have, right? Put our people with. And again, and I can't highlight this enough, can be a fairly sensitive situation. Right.
When they may
you're
not
dealing
have
with all those different things.
Right. And the way we have first-time buyers, that we educate them about what you do, and the listing presentation for our first, or a buyer's presentation for a first-time buyer, is twice as long as everybody else, because they need to know the elements. Think about the fact that sometimes a 65-year-old may have lived in a house for 30 years. That was the last time they did a real estate transaction.
Yeah.
Now, if they have a brain, they've refied so that they understand part of the development of that process. But it's still overwhelming. And they're walking away from a lifetime of memories and Thanksgivings and kids' birthday parties and all that kind of stuff. Then you have this group that's in the 60s into the 70s that may still have most of the mobility and health pieces in place, but they want to live someplace smaller. In certain parts of the country, and you and I talked about Arizona and Texas and Florida being kind of examples of that, a lot of one story, 1,700 to 2,000, 2,200 square feet of a small yard, all that kind of stuff, that's much more manageable than a two-story house where you have to use the stairs and you can't have one floor living.
Right.
So in some areas like where I am, it's really easy. In other areas, like I think of DC, where I had my license before, where there's all those row houses, we have no place to put a bathroom on the first floor. You just can't do it.
Sure,
so
you can get some of that the functional obsolescence that makes it challenging for people to downsize and where they're going to go. And that's the, I look at that locally here, because there's a lot of those people lived it, but a lot of, we could talk about Great Falls or some of the different areas where McLean or even out in Loudoun County, the house was very big, right? So downsizing and staying local is not necessarily an easy thing to do when somebody's enriched in their community.
Yes. And the last moves, and then I also include selling estate properties in this, because you're dealing with sometimes homes that have not been maintained, all the kinds of same things, and you're dealing with a senior's family, is when you're moving for more care. So you're moving into independent living or assisted living or memory care. One of the things that happens that I is one of my mantras is you need to make a plan. Whether you use that plan or not is at your discretion. What happens is people wait too long, and they then mom or dad falls, they break their hip, they go into rehab, and the doctor says you can't move home. And then we're doing that, other people are in charge of the decisions. One of the things about my work with seniors is the senior, as long as they have capacity and they're this person or people on the deed, they are my client, and it's my beyond fiduciary, because fiduciary is an elemental piece of this. But beyond that, making sure that we're all working to meet their needs and that we're taking the time and that we walk through it with them in their time to make these decisions and to move forward with win-win solutions to really complicated family long-time problems. And so there's not everybody can handle that senior move, nor can everybody want to deal with that senior move or deal with what I call my sour milk clients, which is they fell, they went into rehab, they went into assisted living, and their breakfast or lunch is still sitting on the kitchen table when I get the keys and go in. And I'm project managing the whole thing. So as agents, when we look at who we want to work with, we need to know who our people are that are between us and the clients, because it's mostly B2B. There's some B2C with it because everybody has a senior and you can get there very easily with a warm introduction, the same way you've got a neighbor who's got somebody wanting to sell a house. But most of what way I get my referrals is the state attorneys, financial planners, care coordinators, senior living staff that they have to move and they need a realtor. And I love to have us get involved earlier in the process, and that requires some commitment and finesse and leadership within the senior living communities. So,
well, and it's also running a sphere-based business of staying in relationship with your people through the life cycle of their journey, right? Because we hear the stats, and I feel like I report them all the time, and we say, hey, 89% of the people will reuse our realtor again, but only 12% do. This falls into that conversation of you've worked hard to get the business, work harder to sustain the relationship.
And be sure that you develop your skills to know, I call it excellence and empathy, that we have a commitment within our industry ethics and in our business to do the very best we can as the advocate for, as well as the fiduciary for our clients. With seniors, it's different.
Sure.
And I think it brings in this whole piece with empathy for the stresses that they're going through, the losses that they're having. Man, when you have a first-time buyer, they are so excited. They get to paint the walls, the color they want, and plant the trees they want in their backyard. When you have a buyout buyer, it's the swimming pool and the swings and the schools and the community and the closeness to whatever. When you have a senior transaction, it's most of the time a loss. And it really does amplify the loss that they are experiencing because they aren't excited about moving to assisted living. Yeah. Maybe 10% are. Most of the time they're not. Yeah. Even though they have a much higher quality of life when they're there, many of them say. But they are, you know, they're going kicking and screaming in a lot of different ways. And if agents... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you had kind of also, like, it is that full circle moment, right? We talk about first-time homebuyers, and we also say, hey, make sure everybody that needs to be involved is in the room. And a lot of times, those people that need to be involved with a first-time homebuyer, and not just because they might be helping financially, but because they're heavily influenced the decision-makers, which is saying, hey, your parents in the room. This is the complete opposite to a degree. Well, the parents are the consumers in most cases, right? Like you said, you mentioned, are they capable? But the kids are now involved, right? Mm-hmm. They've become the influencers. And right, so making sure that they're involved and understand the parents' wishes. But at the same time, where I think it's a little bit different is that the parents are saying one thing to us, right? That they may not want to say in front of their kids about how they want something to happen. So they allow us to be the heavy in that situation, right? And we can't necessarily, where there is a time and a place to kind of say, be a little bit more like coaching them through the sensitivity in that relationship really has to shine out, because you are involved in more things, from downsizing to clean out to estate planning and sales, all things that, you know, I had to learn along the way, right? Asking questions, but had to learn. But there's a delicate balance to clean out, right? Mm-hmm. For somebody that's been in their house for 30, 40 years. Now, I think we're going to see it. Not only is this a growing marketplace, but based off of the current economy and timetables, and we say, hey, I think there was probably a period of time where the seniors were, as expected, in their house that long. But then I think there was a generation, we'll see that too, of where they have multiple times through jobs or size, you know, mm-hmm. size up, size down, or kids. But now I think we're kind of going to backpedal a little bit, where we're going to see people staying in their houses longer because they are literally married to the rate. In a lot of situations, right? So I think they're staying in their houses longer than we may have been used to. Like, I think we'll see a period of that, right? Even because even though rates will come down again, they'll never be where they were the last couple of years at 2.5%, 3%. If they come down in the fives, well, I'll be very happy, and so will the government. So I think that's going to create that longevity in the home again, where the house does become too large or too unmanageable. Or too cluttered, or too much
too expensive,
taxes, all of those things, that people aren't thinking of. So that's, those are things that are kind of going through my mind.
Because as income goes down, the cost of, I have a 50-year-old house, which in Texas is old, and now I understand why. Anyway, in the Northeast, it's still a early property, but in down here, it's old and things fall apart.
Mortgage may not be the issue anymore, but the taking care and the taxes and all the upkeep certainly can be very close to a mortgage in a lot of cases.
Yes. One of the things I want to be sure we don't miss out on is there is a tension with older seniors, especially. And David Solley, S-O-L-I-E, wrote a book, How to Say It to Seniors.
Okay.
And it was written probably 15 years ago. It's still, parts of it are outdated because of the technology, but a lot of it is really right on. He talks about the needs of the senior being are to simultaneously maintain control and define their legacy. And that those two, when you're trying to get, help them sell a home, can get really pulled. So they go, they end up going in circles because they're trying to keep control.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that they've lost control over, and there are so many losses that trying to keep control. And that when you think about, you know, either a position in the community or position in the family or status or just control over anything when they can't feel like they can't control, is to making those decisions. So it adds this element of stubbornness and kind of going in circles, which agents can find confusing, and then it becomes a power struggle, and it doesn't have to be. I hear it on the Facebook posts all the time. I told them 3 weeks ago that they needed to do this, and I just called the week before closing and they haven't done it yet. What do I do? And it's like, you should have been talking to them every single day, and you should have been at the house helping them try to do this, because you can't just, the same way you would say to a first time buyer or a buy up buyer, go get this and get it done. They have the executive function to go do that. They get it. With seniors, it just becomes just the things that they can still control when there's so much in their world that goes a little out of control. So helping them, providing decision points that are win-win-win for the kids. We give the kids what their own little win in that. And introducing ideas and opportunities and resources to help make those decisions easier. It's a little bit different way of negotiating your way through. We're used to negotiating our way through inspections and through the contract to close process. This is negotiating your way through getting the clients ready to do these things.
Slowing down, right? Yeah. Slowing down how, we're in a very sped up world. And I think understanding I talk about understanding your audience, and it's not always isolated to an age group, right? I've got some very technically savage seniors and some untechnologically millennials. But I do think you understand your marketplace and who your person is and how you're going to work and relate with them. Mm-hmm. And you can have all the best intentions in the world, but you can really go awry very, very quickly if you're not truly paying attention to what their needs are and how they need to be met, right?
Correct.
Whether it's meeting in person more or getting wet signatures, right?
Wet signatures. Do not ever say to me that they need to sign tech with e-signs. It's insulting to them.
Table closings, table conversations,
yes.
Right? All different things that I think a lot of people have not been used to.
No.
Again, so understanding your niche, understanding your audience, and going where they are.
Yes.
Common sense, but you know.
Being part of their journey. I have a post-it note right behind my camera that says, what is the story you want to tell about the transition you are making? And we walk with them in that transition, and become part of that story and that journey for a while. And that's the special part of it, because these folks appreciate us and what we have to offer and what we have to give, because it helps change the dynamic of a really hard time.
Listen, I love your story and I love your passion about everything you can do. And I feel like I could talk for another 30 minutes, but we'll run out of time. But I really wanted to go around, like, we went deep into this niche in your market, but I really want to kind of bring home to people that another thing that kind of really was impressive to me about you and what you've done is that you've taken it so much further in so many other ways. You have gone down the path of getting a class certified for this. You've, okay, you know, CE classes, you're coaching, you've written books, right? Kind of what moved you to go even further, like to document all of this? Why did that connect so, so well with you?
I spent, like I said, many years of my earlier career in an advocacy position for kids at risk and families at risk. And so those advocacy skills and concerns stick with me. And I didn't start this until I was 65. I'm not intending to do it till I'm 100, trust me. And so I wanted to find a way that a friend of mine, actually from here in Texas, that has retired from a large social service organization, started an annual training event because she wanted to touch the lives of children she would never meet. And I have kept that, and I've told Michelle I borrowed it, R&D'd it, and is I want to touch the lives of seniors that I'll never meet by encouraging agents to think through this whole thing of excellence and empathy together and to really be there as part of the journey. And we don't learn that. We certainly don't learn that in pre-licensing, and we sometimes don't learn that in our regular training because we're focused on fiduciary contract, building database. We really need to build a different kind of relationship and to think about the client a little differently and to serve them the way you would want your grandmother or grandfather. I say I want to so that it would be the way I want my parents to be taken care of in a real estate transaction. And who else do you bring in and how do you do that well? When my siblings and I sold my father's property, my brother, the commercial agent, listed the property. I wasn't an agent yet, but my sister and I, we did it all ourselves. And we were exhausted. We didn't know that there were resources, so that as everybody has a senior and agents that want to work with seniors are out talking about it, to talk about what hurts me most is when I hear someone say to me, I wish I'd known about you when, and we need to prevent that from happening. So I want to prevent that. I wish I'd known you when, and to equip agents to see seniors through a different lens and to work to make their lives, make their transitions and their transactions less stressful and more successful. So that's what my work is for the next couple of years, is to kind of make it clear in our industry that seniors are coming and we just don't want to hurt them. So.
Well, you know, and there's one thing, it sounds crazy, it was just kind of dawned on me. We were talking about, you know, the life cycles of the five quarters people may be living in. But as we're talking about, you're working with their children, in a lot of these cases are also going to be seniors.
Yes.
Right? That's just like, it sounds silly to think like, duh, but think about that for a moment, right?
Right.
I have grown up with my parents, and I've talked about that a lot because we were close in age. So I say we grew up together. Well, at the same time, we're growing old together, right?
Yes.
I'm not too far off, but we've seen it before I know it. But so that you're dealing with two sets of seniors that are in two different quarters of their ending journey.
Yes. One of my favorite clients and stories from Northern Virginia, one of the last transactions I had, was the mother-in-law of a woman who is just a few years younger than I am, and we became great friends, and they've retired. So yes, that's the younger end, and it's, so it's, like I said, it's 45 years.
Yeah,
you're gonna have everybody in there.
Well, listen, Kathy, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I appreciate you joining us today, and everybody listening, we'll post some of the stories and how to get a hold of Kathy, because Kathy does coach and train. If this is something you want to learn more about, we'll make sure you have the proper information. Thank Kathy, you. Why don't you just kind of tell everybody, if they want to look you up and find you online, how do they track you down?
YourTransitionPartner.com, and on Facebook, Kathy, Cathi, Corridan, Coridan. I'm one of those people that I mostly use my personal Facebook page. That's where most of my business stuff is. So that's the easiest way to find me. And I'm a good poster, so I will post things that are going on and trainings that I have. I'm going to be running at least monthly webinars on just the general, that 1 hour CE course that I have in Texas to replicate that, because it's the meat and potatoes of working with seniors. So, to watch for that and, to get to know the other people in the senior service industry and get to know those pieces as well. So you can be a really good resource for the seniors that you serve.
I love that. Build your allied resources. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, excellent. Everybody, thanks for joining us on another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. Kathy, I can't thank you enough. Have a great day.
Okay, Dave, take real good care of you in the DC area, okay?